When I hear the word seasons, I instantly think about spring rains, melting the snow, watering the ground, and plant life beginning to bloom. Summer sun warming everything and bringing beautiful days. Fall bringing cool nights, frost, harvests, and leaves changing colors. And winter snow covering the land and everything else. What's your favorite season? What's your favorite part of that season? Mine is fall. I like the cool breeze and the days. Some people like to sit outside in the spring and see all the colors as everything starts to bloom and come back to life. They like to watch the animals start to move around and see the new birth. Some people like to sit outside in the summertime when everything is warm and brilliant. Ariana likes to sit outside in the snow. She'll sit out there for hours. She loves to be at this church in the wintertime. We get here, we unpack everything, and she'll go out and sit outside in a snowbank for hours, just enjoying the peace in the snow. I like to sit outside in the fall at dusk to enjoy the cool breeze. Fall is my favorite season. What season brings peace when you're in its presence? Scripture says that God created the moon for the seasons. In the creation of the world, God built in pieces that would interact together and form varying seasons that would govern life. I remember being in awe when I was taught that the moon is the pole behind the tides of the ocean. I just thought that it was like a bowl of water and somebody shook it and it was sloshing back and forth. The ocean was sloshing back and forth, crashing on the different continents. But God created the moon in such a way that from miles away, it has enough pull that its pull on the ocean waters moves the waters from continent to continent. As the moon travels through its orbit and the earth rotates around, the tides move across the world. When we recognize that God designed the world to have interactive parts, parts that are affected by the presence of other parts, we can, or at least I do, we can begin to look for the reason behind the design. God is not haphazard. It all has a purpose. We just need to look for the design. Let's look again at the seasons. Spring. Animals are coming out of hibernation. They've bred and new birth is popping up. Plants are beginning to bloom with the melting snow giving them a hefty dose of water. And colors are brilliant, inspiring new energy and hope. Spring is the renewed season, the fresh start, the new beginning. Summer. Things are in full swing. Life is moving along. Plans are made for tomorrow, next week, and next month. The sun is warm, the rain is refreshing when it comes. Life is good. Summer is prime time. It's the season of plans and setting our hands and feet on seeing them fulfilled. Summer is the season of ideals. Fall. Animals are beginning to gather and store up, so they're not without. Crops are beginning to show their fruit. It's been there all summer, but now it's time to bring it all into the storehouse. Trees are showing signs that a new season is coming as the leaves change colors and begin to fall to the ground. Unharvested produce also begins to fall to the ground and decompose. The nights get cooler and cooler. The days warm up less and less. And most living creatures begin to prepare a place to ride out the approaching winter. Fall is the season of recognizing the signs and preparing for the inevitable. Some call it the season of death. Everything is dying. But that's not true. The trees are not dead. They've dropped their leaves and fruit to the ground just above their roots. They don't need to collect any more sun for the next few months. They're preparing to rest a while the stuff that they've laid down at their roots becomes nourishment for the next spring season. Fall is the preparation season in the cycle of life. Winter. Animals are hibernating. Bugs and pests have buried themselves awaiting the new spring season. Trees and plants have found a time to rest. They're not turning sunlight into food. They're resting and will get a boost in the spring when their roots suck up the nutrient-rich waters from the melting snow and decomposed fruit and leaves. Winter is the season of rest. When God created everything we see, He took a period of time at the end and rested. God's Word instructs us to take a period of rest as well. Man used to take this as an unbreakable command. But Jesus pointed out it was intended by God to be a time of rest that would benefit us, mind, body, and soul. It was never intended to be another anxiety to observe, but an instruction to find time to rest. so that the work you had toiled over and finished can become nourishment to you. We find the happiest life when we observe seasons of labor, seasons of harvest, seasons of renewing, as well as seasons of rest. And God instructs us in this way so that it will go well with you. Winter is a season to rest, being still and healing, so that you can move into the new season that is approaching. Daniel 2:21 says, "It is He who changes the times and the seasons." Now, Daniel is not talking about the seasons of the year. He's talking about seasons in the life of mankind. Daniel says next, "For God is the one who raises up a king, and He is the one who removes a king." Daniel is identifying that there are seasons in life, seasons that are very much like the seasons of the year, seasons of renewing, refreshing, and new birth, seasons of planning and carrying out routine life, seasons of preparing for what lays ahead, and seasons of rest. These are seasons that function in a regular cycle. You can almost predict their arrivals, but there are more seasons in life than just these. There are seasons of grief, seasons of heartache, seasons of joy, seasons of hope, seasons of peace, and seasons of war, seasons of, well, let's look at God's Word and see some of the seasons that He identifies. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." I vaguely remember my grandparents saying to me when I was growing up, "There's a time and a place for that, but not here." God's Word tells us that there is a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to kill unhealthy things in our lives, and there's a time to heal broken relationships. There's a time to search for the desires of our hearts, and there's a time to give up on a dream that may not really be all we've imagined it to be. God's Word tells us that there are times and seasons to our lives. They will require different things from us. They will certainly come, just as the spring and autumn rains, but they will not last forever. They are but a season in your life. They have a purpose. And when that purpose has been met, they will move on into the next season. What season are you in today? Is it a pleasant season? A dry season? A season of heartache? Remember, it's only a season, and a new season is on the horizon. Like the seasons you have been in before, this too shall pass. What season are you in? What season is coming next? Are you heading into a season of renewing? A season of even flow? A season of preparation? Or a season of rest, awaiting that renewing? What season are you in today? Our church goes through seasons too, our body of believers. 2 years ago in September, we began a renewed season. A season of new thoughts, new visions, new perspectives, and some new family members. From there, we moved into a season of mild growth and a season of consistent weeks. Week after week looked like the one before. We began a semi-even flow. Our church body has experienced many more seasons over the past 50-plus years. Seasons of birth, rebirth, and renewal. Seasons of growth and celebration. Seasons of blessing and praise. Seasons of heartache. Seasons of turmoil, seasons of hurt, seasons of grief, seasons of loss, and seasons of death. And seasons of being reminding that God has wisdom for every season, and we are not abandoned in a particular season. God's desire for you today is to know that you are only in a season. It will not last forever. It will pass. And He knows what joys lie in your next seasons ahead. He desires you to receive the blessings that He's stored for you in the seasons ahead and is waiting on you to move from this season into the next and the next and the next. No season is your home. You are only passing through. So rise up and move through, even when it's hard, when it's dark and scary. Rise up and remind yourself that this is a season that holds wisdom for you. It's not shackles, it's a tool. to mold you for tomorrow. Right now, I only have one story, but we'll see how God does throughout the rest of the message. So, it seems like the past couple of months, I hear over and over and over again, as my days go on, people pointing out, well, I wonder if this will end up as a story and a message. And yes, my life is shared from the pulpit in a lot of stories, but it doesn't always come out on a Sunday morning. But last Friday, there was an experience that's going to be our story for today. Merritt and I were out back working on our church building. And I don't remember how we got onto the discussion, but we got onto the discussion of the right tool for the right job. Basically, if you're using the right tool, it makes the job go that much easier and sometimes look that much nicer. But like a lot of people that do a lot of different jobs, we don't always use the right tool for the right job. And so I had mentioned to Merritt about another pastor that I had talked to a couple of times this past summer about having the right tool for the right job. And those were on occasions when I was working with him and we were using a tool not as it was intended to be used, and we were struggling to get the job done because we were using the wrong tool for the wrong job. And probably within 5 minutes of this discussion, Merritt calls up to the roof, which I'm standing on, and says, the right tool for the right job. That's all he had to say as I looked down at the drill gun that I was using as a hammer. The right tool for the right job. My excuse was I only have so many hands, and I needed to move the roofing material a little bit while I was holding screws and a screw gun. So my screw gun became a hammer. God uses seasons as tools to mold us and prepare us for what lies ahead. God's not going to use the wrong tool for the job that He has intended for you. You are the tool that He's going to use, but He's going to mold you to be the perfect tool for that job. He knows every minute of your life from the very beginning to the very end. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. So He's not going to leave you unprepared for what He sees coming. Even though you may wonder, how could I ever be prepared to face this? God in His infinite wisdom knew the only thing that could help at this particular time. And in fact, He knew exactly when to move. And He did. Someday you will recognize what really happened, but today it just looks like an ugly mess that was void of anything good. My thoughts go back to Lewis and the Christmas child box story that we just saw today, and how at the very beginning his mom said, I can't afford to send you to school. We don't have the supplies that we need for you to be able to go. We need to pray. We need to place our confidence in God. And when they prayed, those supplies came and he was able to go to school. I can almost imagine the joy in his mom as she saw the anxiety of, I can't send my son to school because I can't afford what he needs to go. And then God provided what she needed. And she was able to send her son to get the education that she longed for him. And as the days went forward and the excitement in her played out as she saw her son getting the education, and then all of a sudden he joined a gang and went in a different direction. And the horror and wondering, God, how could you have done this for my son, but you can't protect him from these dark things in this world? Why are you allowing him to go down this path? Why don't you do something and stop it from happening? But she didn't give up. She says in the video that she continued praying for her son, trusting God, that in His timing, the right things would play out. And her son would be saved. It's very hard for us in the dark times to remember that things happen in God's timing because He knows the exact moment when that change is going to set in our hearts and last forever. He doesn't want to short-circuit anything so that we go in a good direction only to turn around and head in the wrong direction again. He knows the timing when it will last forever. And He's willing to wait for that timing to come because He loves you that much. He loves that loved one that you've been praying for that much that He's willing to wait for them to get to that exact moment when it will stay in their heart. God wasn't out fishing on the day that that thing happened. He was there. He does care. And His word says that He will walk through this with you. It says a lot more about your situation, but you can't receive it yet. In this season of your life, you're not ready. He will bring the answers, though, when your seasons change and your heart opens to receive His promise without criticism for the parts you feel you could have done without. Maybe this is you today, maybe it's not. But can you imagine telling God, it could have worked just as well like this, that didn't need to happen? Can you imagine telling God, you jerk, why did you let this happen? I hate you. But if you're carrying a grudge, that's what you're saying. Even if you've convinced yourself that the grudge is against a person, the truth is you're stuck. You can't move closer to God while you're nursing a grudge. You've set your hurt above God. And each person that tries to bring God's word before you about this situation finds you standing pursed to guard against surrender. Are you standing against God? Are you ready to guard your heart against anyone who suggests forgiveness, mercy, giving up the fight, or for the sake of peace in the family? Are you ready to fight to your dying day because you can't bring yourself to let go for the greater good of anyone involved? In my short years as a minister, I've heard a few people share this same story. And today, I believe that it needs to be shared generically across each of these people. But I've heard multiple people share the story of being raped. That's one of the most horrifying things that a person can go through, is having that stolen from you. It brings fear and trauma into a person's life. It brings a lot of questions on why did this have to happen? Why was this allowed to happen? How come I had to go through this? And it doesn't go away. They carry it forever. They remember that time in their life for the rest of their life. But these people who have shared this story with me, each one of them has also shared that there came a point in their life when they didn't want to carry it anymore. And they started praying to God to help them to let go of it. And for each one of these people who shared this story with me, they said it was a struggle for a long time. They couldn't handle anything that triggered those memories in their life, any situation that would remind them, would bring back all that terror and trauma. But as they prayed, a miracle happened in their lives. And each one of them knew that something was changing in them, but they were still scared that one day it would all come back, because it always had before. But there came the day for each of these people that I'm thinking about, where they said they had the opportunity to talk to that person, the person who did this to them. And they talked to them without fear, without trembling, without hatred, without resent. They talked to them as a person, and they realized that it was a miracle, that they were able to finally release all of that that was built into them through that experience. It does happen. It is a miracle that begins when the person starts seeking God's help to let go. Each one of these people said that it could not have happened without God. There's no way they could get through it on their own. It was only because God allowed them to release it and forgive the person. Now, they didn't forget what happened. They didn't put themselves in a position of going through it over again. They were smart about the decisions that they made, and they protected themselves, but they were able to talk to this person, each of these people, without the hurt and without the fear. What season are you in? Has a season held you captive for an extended period of time? It's not supposed to be that way, so take action today and let that season know that its time is up. It needs to let go now and move on. God's got a new season on your horizon, and you're ready to see what it holds for you. At the beginning of this message, I pointed out the seasons were part of God's design, and that when we recognize that there is a design involved, we can begin to look for the purpose behind it. And again, I feel I need to stop for a moment, because the story that I just shared, there's no purpose behind why a person should have to go through that. It's never God's plan for a person to go through something that traumatizes them, that hurts them, or that kills somebody. That's never God's intention. He doesn't set out to destroy people. He loves us. But His word says that this broken world will damage us, will hurt us, will destroy things in us. But He will use those things for good. The hard part is if you've been through something as horrifying as what I shared or similar, you may be wondering, how could God use anything good from that? But I promise you that because His word says He will, He will. It may look different for you than it does for everybody else, but He will do something in your life that you will reflect back on that moment and realize that your heart would not have been able to pull off what happened had it not experienced what it experienced. Again, He didn't plan that in your life, but He took that experience and brought you to a place where you could do something good with it. We can begin to look for the purpose behind what happened. I've also asked multiple times, what season are you in? I hope that by now you've begun to recognize the season that you're in. Maybe you're in a season of waiting, a season of wondering, a season of crying, a season of joy. What is your season and why are you in it? What is it doing for you? What is it doing to you? What is it doing in you? Or is it as a result of your choices? What is the purpose? What is God doing with this season to mold you? Can you receive this teaching? Can you receive the season? And can you release the season and move on to the next season? In God's design, seasons work in cycles of birth, movement, preparation, rest, and repeat, which would be something like this. Something new birthed into your life, a new consistency, preparing again and rest again. Temporary seasons filter into this cycle, but they are never meant to be lasting seasons. They are, by definition, just a period of time in your life. They're a season. So once more, what season are you in today? What is God using this season to mold into you? Are you lingering in this season longer than God intended you to? What can you do to release your heart to move into the next season? And could you use a season of rest or renewal? The message today doesn't have an answer. I love when I stand up here and I share God's word and it says, this is how you get past this. This is how you go through this. This is how you grow to this. I love those messages that are encouragement and strengthening to the body. But this message today isn't that. It doesn't have the answer. It says this is how you go to the next season. But what it does have is a reminder that if you're struggling with something, if there's something going on in your life, it's a season. The pictures we showed earlier, this church, this congregation is going through a season that just began. But it's not where they're going to stay. It's not the end of this body. It's just a season. Whatever you're facing, maybe you've been facing it for the last 25 years. It's just a season. And I'm sure if God were to share with you today, He would show you that He never intended you to be in that season for 25 years. It's just a season. The message today is put your faith in God. Reach out to Him and recognize where you are today. It's just a season. He wants you to move on from here. He's got a new season in mind for you. Maybe it's a season of renewal. Maybe it's a season of rest. Maybe it's a season of preparation. But it's a new season, a new day, and He's calling you to it. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for everything that's in Your Word. Sometimes there's hard teachings, sometimes there's easy teachings, sometimes there's encouragement, and sometimes there's rebuke and reminder. But Lord God, every time we open Your Word and receive what it has for us, Lord God, we know that Your love is behind it. You want something better for us, and that's why You're sharing that with us. You want something better for us, and that's why You're calling us to move in a new direction. You want a closer relationship with us, and that's why You're calling us to reach with all of our heart for You. Lord God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace upon us. Thank You for the salvation we have in You. Thank You for Your love. As we go about our life, Lord God, as this week plays out, guide our hearts, guide our words, guide our actions to remind us of whose we are. We are Your children. We are loved by You. Remind us, Lord God, of whose we are. Help us, Lord God, as we try to represent You, to know first that we belong to You, and You'll never let us be taken out of Your hand. Remind us, Lord God, and encourage us. In Your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and thank You. Amen.